You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_daddy. So today has obviously been an absolute whirlwind of a day. Let's start off with the, we'll call them negatives, the people that will no longer be with the Green Bay Packers. So we learned earlier on that Devondre Campbell would no longer be a Green Bay Packer. This one to me, and I'm not saying this is what it was, but to me it really just came down to how much is Devondre's attitude causing problems? Because there's not enough savings, and I know they did a post-June 1, so there are actually significant savings for this year, but it's just spread out. The savings are what the savings are, and it should say the dead cap is we're going to have to pay over the next 2 years the same as we would have paid. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But to me, you know, it doesn't hurt to bring him back. It certainly wouldn't mind keeping him for another year, unless there's a real serious issue with, you know, some of the stuff he was talking about and sort of the attitude that he had, et cetera, et cetera. Now, with that said, there's also the, you know, him coming back into the locker room just saying, man, I'm tired when everyone else is gassed up, which, you know, I understand some guys get tired, but the young guys are not, and the old guy was. You've got a significant dip in his play via PFF, so maybe you just put it all together and let's just go ahead and save $10 million this year and go out and get some studs. Then we learned that David Bakhtiari was going to be heading out. As I previously mentioned on some of the other shows and whatnot that I've been doing, they all kind of run together at this point. But, you know, it was casual conversation until it happened, and it's always so abrupt. You know, it's like, yeah, that'll probably happen, and, you know, there's no real buildup. I mean, I guess you could call the past several years of expecting him to leave buildup, and then obviously knowing that it could happen, but just, like, it's so instant. Just all of a sudden, there it is. You know, you see David Bakhtiari saying goodbye, and it's just, I don't know. For me, anyways, it's just kind of a momentary, takes your breath away kind of thing. Like, oh, geez, it really happened. Holy cow. So, I mean, this is going to sort of engage or re-engage kind of, I guess, how I was feeling all along. But the conversation about Walker at left tackle, I think, If I had to guess, most of the fan base, and I should put up a poll on this, most of the fan base would feel as though we're good at tackle. You know, maybe some depth if you want to get some later on guys, some developmental guys, find some more Yosh Nyman, some more Walkers, you know, some late round guys that have some upside. And the Packers probably, you know, knowing them, will probably be able to find some studs that can at least be backup tackles, you know, quality enough. And we're good. We're done. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly not like an urgent need that we have to, but I just feel like if you know, let's just say you got one guy left that's sort of a first-round prospect, so to speak, or is on that higher tier of, you know, really, really good football players, and he's a tackle, do we not do it because Walker's there? I don't know. Hopefully we don't really have to worry about it. But obviously, that freed up a ton of money. I mean, the Packers were, I think at that point, sitting at about $30 million in the bank. And then comes Aaron Jones. Now, this isn't the exact timeline. I'm just saying, you know, we'll get to the guys that we signed later. But, you know, shortly after we found out we brought in a running back, I had even made the comment. I don't know if you were, if you happened to be following along on my live stream during the free agency period. I had made the comment that this could be used as sort of a you know, hammer or a cudgel or whatever you want to call it against Aaron Jones to essentially say, look, you know, it's hardball time. You either take this or we're done, I guess. It sounds like from some of the reports, maybe that's not exactly what happened. It may have been the other way around, that things broke down and then they pulled the trigger. I don't know, but either way, we got a running back in, and Aaron Jones is out. It's unfortunate. I don't think it needed to be this way. I think if we didn't do all the backloading stuff, all the all-in stuff, we wouldn't be in this situation, which is why I'm not a big fan of it, because I don't necessarily think the pay is the problem. I think the problem is the pay plus all the additional money that's been pushed out that creates a really big cap, right? And so now we can't reduce the pay from the money that's been pushed back. That all has to be paid. So the only other option is to tell him to take a cut from his salary, which, I mean, we could drop that to zero, and essentially we would have, I mean, it literally was. It was over $12 million. Just, I mean, if his base salary was zero, we'd have to pay that. So asking him to take a 50% pay cut, I mean, that still leaves a pretty big cap hit, while at the same time being insulting to a really good football player. But it's like we just can't afford, we can't do this. And when I say afford, I'm talking cap, not cash. I have no idea what their cash situation is. And then, you know, as far as Aaron Jones goes, you know, there was a question asked during Packernet Derailed, you know, why didn't they try to get something from him in a trade? And I hadn't really considered that at the time, because you think about it, you know, I mean, the contracts are always kind of tough, but I don't know how much would have been left. Because again, his salary was not, I don't believe, the problem necessarily. I mean, you could trade that, especially since he could be offered a new contract, and so you could immediately spread that out. It's a reasonable base salary. I can't look it up because it's all changed, but a reasonable base salary that can be reduced when you add years, and somebody would have been willing to work that contract out, and so we could have gotten some compensation for him. Why didn't they do that? And the best answer I can give was courtesy. It was a favor to Aaron Jones, and I'm sure it would have been tough to trade him anyways, and maybe they had made some calls to kind of see, because I'm sure at some compensation, as great as you've been, you know, if somebody's offering like a second round pick or something crazy, it's like, I'm sorry, dude, we're doing this. But I think, you know, assuming that wasn't the case, which it wouldn't be the case, I don't know if it'd be like, you know, a fifth round pick or something. At that point, you know, Aaron Jones has earned the ability to be released so that he can go out and get all the money that he would like. And he'll make a lot more money if he can get a brand new contract with, you know, multi-year, large guarantee, big signing bonus, you know, go to, let's say, the Texans, hopefully, not Dallas or Minnesota, but we'll see. You know, I don't know how many years. It probably won't be a ton, and I don't know that it'll be a massive amount of money, but it'd be more than he would have gotten in a trade, which, you know, potentially could have just been like a one-year thing or whatever. This year, he has the opportunity to get maximum dollars, not just who's willing to do a deal with the Green Bay Packers. And so really, when you look at it, how much of a bind does that put us in? Well, just looking at the guys that left, not even talking about the people that came in, again, we have a tackle. We've had a tackle for a long time because Bakhtiari hasn't even been here. So losing Bakhtiari isn't even necessarily losing Bakhtiari. It's continuing as normal and just taking him off our books, at least in part this year and in entirely next year. Aaron Jones is a loss, or at least was a loss until we get the addition. But, you know, running backs, I hate to say they're a dime a dozen because it's hard to replace an Aaron Jones, but it's not like, oh no, we're doomed now, especially since we knew he was leaving soon anyways. And then you got Devondre Campbell, which I think, you know, as far as looking at and going, okay, that's maybe our biggest challenge. You know, we have a position now that requires three guys to be in it, you know, three starters. And yes, I understand how nickel works, but still, you're in base a good amount of the time. And so we go from needing two and having two to needing three and having one. And so we'll see how the rest of free agency goes, but that's sort of the biggest, you know, gaping hole. The big thing that if I were to say they had to do something in free agency would be that, because at this point we're kind of in desperation mode when it comes to the draft. And so as of right now, David Bakhtiari is still a free agent. We'll see where he ends up. You know, it's kind of tough. Jake Chevink thinks Arizona's a really good destination. I think that could make sense. It'll get him a little bit closer to going back home, get him back out west. Warm weather, presumably not dealing with turf out there. I still think the Jets are in play. I understand his stance on things, but I also wonder how much pull Aaron Rodgers has, although it's a tough pitch when he lasted like four plays. Aaron Jones, last I saw, was still on the market. Some talks about Minnesota being interested, but as I mentioned on the another one of the streams, Minnesota being interested in Aaron Jones is not the same thing as Aaron Jones being interested in Minnesota. I'm just saying. Yosh Nijman is still floating out there. That does become a big deal for the tackle position, because losing David Bakhtiari and Yosh Nijman, even if you like our starters, we have a pretty serious depth issue. So we're going to have to get tackle at some point, whether that be a top-tier guy that takes over Walker's spot and Walker becomes a backup, at least until somebody wants to trade for him, or we just bring back Yosh. But I'm sure he's exploring his market. At just 28, you know, he's got some years left. Keyshawn Nixon is still floating out there. There were rumors, pretty heavy rumors from multiple places, that the Packers fully intend to bring him back. One of the interesting aspects of that is not only do we not have and do we need a slot guy, but kick returns may become more important again. Now, it's not an official thing that's happened yet, but they're considering changing the kickoff rules so that you would continue to kick off, which I don't understand this, continue to kick off at the 35. You wouldn't go back to the 25, but the rest of the kickoff team would line up at the opponent's 40-yard line. The return team would line up just 5 yards away on their own 35, and no one on either line could leave those positions until the ball is touched or reaches the target zone, which will be between the 20-yard line and the goal line. Oh, I see. That's the part I didn't catch. So it would be a pretty drastic change, but the point is, so, and I laughed about it when I first saw it, because it's like, are you serious? You just tried to decrease kickoffs. Now you want to increase kickoffs, because that's what the titles say. They want to increase kickoffs. But this is a compromise to make sure the kick returns, or not kickoffs, kick returns, come back. We miss it. We need it. We want it. But we don't want to compromise safety, so this would be the way to do it. So basically, you can't even move until the returner touches it, at which point you got blockers basically immediately right there. And so you would definitely be incentivized to take the ball out. Point is, though, a good kick returner becomes more valuable if you're actually returning kicks again. So depending on whether or not this rule is legit, which I would assume it is, who would say no to this? I don't understand. I mean, I guess you want to keep the integrity of the game kind of thing, but it feels like kind of a no-brainer, because I miss kickoffs and kick returns and, you know, kick returns for a touchdown and all that good stuff. But either way, I wouldn't mind having Keyshawn Nixon back. I mean, he's only 26 years old. I think he's a decent enough slot corner. I mean, he's not a liability. I mean, not all the time. And so I don't know. I would be in favor of that. Jonathan Ford is still floating around out there. Again, we'll talk about it, but we did get a safety. We got to figure out who we're going to put next to him. It's not going to be Savage. Potentially Jonathan Ford. We'll see what the situation is with him. He is 28 years old, but, you know, whatever. A.J. Dillon has still not found a home. Presumably that will not be in Green Bay. That's the word on the street. Eric Wilson, I think, becomes pretty desirable at this point to bring back. I want him anyways for special teams, but, you know, having a linebacker wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Josiah DeGuaro's out there. I don't believe he'll be coming back, but we'll keep an eye on that, see if he ends up finding a home. Tyler Davis did return. He did get signed back. It doesn't say it here on this list that I'm looking at, but he did. Tyler Davis will be returning. Jonathan Owens, no word yet. I don't think he'll be back. Zane Anderson, likewise, although who knows. Robert Rochelle, cornerback, does not have a home yet. Caleb Jones, the tackle, they need to sign Caleb Jones. That's crazy. He must be is he a restricted free agent? I think we're getting into restricted free agents now, because these guys aren't going anywhere. But the Green Bay Packers that did find homes, Darnell Savage did get a deal done with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He got a 3-year, $21.75 million deal, so $7.25 million a year. 12 and a half of that is guaranteed, so you figure it's more of a 2-year deal probably. And he's only going to cost $3.4 million against the cap for Darnell Savage, or for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But then the big stunner has been the guard market, and John Runyon absolutely capitalized on this. And look, if he goes back to what he was prior to this past year, then I guess it's, you could argue that it's worth it. But the New York Giants signed him to a 3-year, $30 million deal, which feels high. Of that, $17 million is guaranteed. So again, that's about a, and $17 million was guaranteed at signing. So they just gave him all of it. Like, you're getting $17 million and you just get it all up front. But again, it's going to be probably about a 2-year deal. And then we'll see after that. I mean, John Runyon's only 26, but I am shocked at the amount of money these guards are getting. Robert Hunt, a guard from Miami who went to Carolina, got $20 million a year. $20 million. I mean, all right, I guess. It's crazy to me when you factor in what we got. I mean, we didn't get to it yet, but it's like we're sitting here hemming and hawing about maybe the best safety in football, one of the top safeties in football, top five, getting 17. And some, I don't want to call him a mid guard, but I guess I don't know where. Maybe he's the best guard in football and I just missed it. I don't know. I don't feel like looking it up because I don't care that much. But $20 million with $63 million guaranteed. It was a five-year, $100 million deal. You imagine being Robert Hunt and just being like, yeah, I'm a guard. I don't really make any money. And come to find out, like, guard is the hottest market in town. And you're going to get a $100 million deal. 27-year-old guy, just working on that second contract, you know. Just a blue-collar kind of guy. What the heck? It's also the biggest contract when you factor, or, you know, in terms of years. Nobody else got a five-year deal. Everybody else, McKinney, Jonathan Grenard, Christian Wilkins, and Kirk Cousins all got four-year deals. Robert Hunt's the only five-year. Wild and crazy stuff. But anyways, why don't we go ahead and take our first break. We'll come back and take a look at some of the guys that we did sign. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's talk positive. Let's talk signings. So first out of the gate, Josh Jacobs, 26-year-old running back. I would probably venture to say the best running back option. Talked about it before. You kind of hem and haw a little bit. Like I said, I could see the Saquon Barkley thing if you assume he's healthy and assume that it was just the offensive line that made him struggle a little bit and you get the best version of what Saquon Barkley could be, then yeah, that's probably the best option. But you look at Josh Jacobs being young, you look at him being a top back for so long, the only reason he's not the clear number one is because he had a down year. And so then you start to wonder, you know, the situation was pretty bad. He did not want to be a Raider last year. He essentially, you know, held out and did agree to a one-year deal. And obviously that didn't pan out super well because, you know, the play wasn't great. So the contract that he get after probably isn't going to be the best. But he's at least able to leave and sort of reestablish himself. And so the terms of the deal are 4 years, $48 million, which is a $12 million average. Now, the reaction to that was shocking to me. Like, I can't believe they would pay him that much. It's like, what are you talking about? I remember running backs getting like 15, 16, 17, 18 many years ago. This is 12 for maybe the best running back option in the game. Like, you got Christian McCaffrey and what? Again, I know he had a down year. I get that. But assuming we're getting the Josh Jacobs of old, like what he was the 4 years or 3 years prior, I mean, I've been on record saying he might be the best running back in football as early as 2 years ago. $12 million is freaking chump change. And the reaction was almost visceral, like, oh, that's a lot of money. No, it isn't. Do you think this guy's like a backup running? Do you not know who Josh Jacobs is? And the fact of the matter is, it's not even nearly as much as it seems. I think maybe it's the 48 that scared people. I don't know. You know, we don't pay the guy $48 million this year. That's the total over 4 years, which makes it $12 million a year. But it's even better than that because in reality, there's only 12 and a half guaranteed. Do you notice how everybody else's guarantees were almost about 2 full years worth? And this is about 1 year worth? And his total guaranteed at signing was 12 and a half. So we gave him all the guarantees right up front. So all the money that he's guaranteed to earn is going right in his pocket. Meaning after this year, we can simply say bye-bye, and it costs us like nothing. So if he doesn't pan out, if he's kind of like he was last year, and it looks like there's just something wrong with the guy, injury-related, or I don't know what's going on with him, then we just say that sucks and we move on. And it was just a one-year deal that was a flyer. But a perk of that flyer is that we are the ones that get to exercise the four years. So the 4 years is for us. It's not for him. He doesn't get to decide, you know what, I like it here, I think I'll stay. No, that's up to the Packers. So if he's bad, it's a one-year deal. If he's good, it's a four-year deal or a two-year deal or a three-year deal, however long we decide that we want to keep him here. So this is unbelievably team-friendly and shockingly low for one of the best backs in the entire NFL. And again, I understand, like, it's, well, he's a running back and all that. I get it. But again, compare this to, like, you know, maybe top 10 guards, top whatever guards getting $20 million. According to PFF, his pass blocking grade was 10th. Overall, Robert Hunt ranks 6th. So outside of the top 5, he's a top 10 guard. So if you're a top 10 guard, you get $20 million at 27 and a half years old. And a guy that just last year suffered a lot of injuries. Like he missed a lot of time. He played, what, 10 to 11 games last year? And that's worth $20 million bucks. Josh Jacobs is a, like, every down back. He's a big brute. He's the guy that's going to get 300 carries a year, which is not what the Packers have done in a very long time. And he is, you know, when he's playing, you know, if, not counting last year, he is a top five back. And we're sitting here grimacing over, like, a one-year deal for $12 million bucks. And the cap hit this year is $5.3 million. So anyways, I guess the bottom line is, look, we got a new running back and we got to acclimate, right? We've had Aaron Jones for a real long time. We're hoping, right? The idea, the hope here is that we still have a top running back. You know, Aaron Jones would fluctuate. Sometimes he's number one, sometimes he's number five, sometimes he's number 13, you know, but he's generally a really good running back. There are years where he's injured. There are years where he has a little bit of a down year or whatever the case may be, but you know, you got a good one. And we're kind of hoping that we have that, and we're going to continue that for the next 4 years, which would be amazing. But we also have to kind of understand a different style. I mean, he's not Aaron Jones. I don't want to say he's the antithesis of Aaron Jones, but I mean, he's more of a, I don't think power back is the right word, but he's much harder to bring down. I saw a stat that said over the last 3 years, he has more, I think it's broken tackles or missed tackles or a combination of the two. I'm not sure. But he has more than anybody, and that includes guys like Christian McCaffrey and whatnot. Now, it's cumulative, so maybe there's injuries involved. Plus, he has a lot of carries, but that's to his credit. Because, I don't know this, but I have a feeling that Matt LaFleur has been wanting what a lot of other teams have, which is that guy that gets, you know, like Minnesota had Dalvin Cook would run 300 times a year, or like the guy we have now, he'll put 300 runs on his tires in a year. You know, and we don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore, so you have the ability to kind of take a little bit off of Jordan Love if you so choose. You don't have to. It looks like Jordan Love's a stud, in which case maybe you don't want to as much. But, you know, if you want to run the ball 25 times with a guy, you can do that. He's built for that. Not just toward the end of the year when we're like, all right, let's run this thing into the ground, but starting week one, you can do that with this guy. So he's not necessarily, I would say, as elusive. He's probably not going to, we're not going to see him make as many plays that aren't there. Not saying he can't, but I mean, that's just, Aaron Jones is one of one, I think, in that category. But I mean, you're going to see a guy that's just, he's breaking tackles. He's really hard to bring down. Guys just seem to slip off of him. And you're going to see just a bell cow, you know? The other thought that I had in regards to, Josh Jacobs is that because of the situation, right? AJ Dillon likely gone. Aaron Jones, let's just say likely gone. I know some people are clinging to we may re-sign him. Okay, maybe. Maybe the market is so trash that he comes back and is like, I'll take whatever. Plus, since we cut him, you know, we kind of can create a new deal, although, you know, we got dead money for him on top of a new contract. That would kind of suck. But anyways, AJ Dillon likely gone, Aaron Jones likely gone, and then you look at Josh Jacobs, which is potentially a one-year deal, and of course we're looking for something more than that. So you look at it and say, okay, the situation we're in now, we have just Josh Jacobs. We're probably looking for a number two guy. But there's also a chance we're looking for a number one guy, because if it doesn't work out with Josh Jacobs, we're going to need somebody else. And to be honest, even if it does work, so what if you have two number one running backs, and then after 4 years, right, this new guy's looking for a contract, Josh Jacobs goes bye-bye, and we're still rocking and rolling. So, you know, I'm not going to pretend it's the highest need right now. You know, linebacker is probably higher. Safety might still be higher. Maybe. Although, I don't know about that. And so my biggest question is, what are they looking for? And I understand, like, it doesn't have to be a specific mold, you know, height, weight kind of thing. But at the same time, I'm kind of torn. Are you looking for an Aaron Jones replacement? Or, you know, something to that effect? Sort of a change of pace, kind of a different kind of guy? Or are we still on the, you know, I mean, Gutekunst wants bigger backs. We've been hearing that. And we look at Josh Jacobs and go, there's your bigger back. Right? He drafted AJ Dillon. That's a bigger back. Now, was that just a compliment to Jones? Or is it just because that's his style? That becomes a question, because when you look at the draft, and honestly, just about any running back is potentially an option for the Green Bay Packers, because there isn't like a first round guy. Trey Benson right now is sitting at 69. No, that's not nice. And so technically we're talking third round is when running backs start. Now, I have no doubt that the second round they're all in play. But, I mean, there are no, like, it's too early for a running back type of guys for the Packers situation. But it's still a question of, okay, so let's say Blake Corum is sort of the Aaron Jones. Is that what we're looking at? Otherwise, we got my dude Jordan Brooks, who's 6 foot, 216 pounds, right? If you're looking for another 220 guy, there you go. Trey Benson, also 6 foot, 216. And of course, 4.39 for those people like, oh, I don't know, Brian Gutekunst, who have an affinity for that kind of stuff. You know, but I mean, estimate 220. Marshawn Lloyd, 220. Braylon Allen, 235. Guerrero, 221. Otherwise, you know, again, you got Dylan Lauby, 206 at 5'10. Shipley is 5'11, 206. You know, and obviously they're not going to draft a guy, oh, that's too heavy, I want a 206 guy. But you get what I'm saying is, are you looking for the more small, agile, shifty, high processor guys, or do you just want the big backs that can smash? Knock it off. Personally, I have a feeling, right, I've been talking about Corum, I'm like, hey, that's your Jones replacement, all that stuff. I think that, because we've heard it about multiple positions, not just running back, I think Gutekunst just likes the bigger guys because they're more durable. So I have a feeling that he would probably lean, instead of the 5'8", 205 Corum, toward more of the Jonathan Brooks. And I'm telling you right now, if we get Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Brooks, I'm going to lose my mind. Absolutely lose my mind. So that's kind of where my mind is at right now moving forward. So like in the event of mock drafts, if it's something I prefer, you know, I'm going to get excited about my guys. I like, you know, I mean, Jonathan Brooks is my guy for sure. But I'm going to be still talking about Corum. I'm still going to be talking about Lauby. Still going to be talking about Ray Davis. But at the end of the day, those guys are not built the way Gutekunst would prefer. Again, not saying it's impossible. He, you know, look at Jaden Reed. That's not his preference either, but he's just a good freaking football player. They drafted him and it's been great. So it could happen, but I think you look more toward the bigger back. And who knows, maybe with the injury issues with Jonathan Brooks, he doesn't want to go that route either, and he ends up taking somebody that's, you know, again, I haven't been super high on Estime. I think a lot of people look at Estime and go, yeah, that's a Packer running back. That's Gutekunst, that's whatever. I saw somebody say that recently, and I'm like, come on, man, don't do this to me. But, I mean, he kind of checks the boxes, you know? And if he ends up being like a fourth-round guy or possibly later, then that's easy money, you know? But anyways, all right, let's take our final break. We'll come back and talk about the big swing of the day that Brian Gutekunst took, and then we'll get out of here. We'll be right back. All right, so he did it, man. Xavier McKinney, maybe one of the bigger names talked about, one of the more prized people in the entire draft. I mean, look, Kirk Cousins is desirable, no doubt about it, but he's 35 years old, right? Christian Wilkins is a pretty big one. I don't know that it's Xavier McKinney. Christian Wilkins is 28. Xavier McKinney is the type of guy that doesn't hit the market. He is one of the best players at a position just coming off a rookie deal, and not even after a fifth-year option, just coming off his 4 years of rookie deal. These guys don't hit the market. He hit the market, and Goot got him. And there was a lot of talk early on, you know, it's like the Eagles and the Packers are interested, and it's like, you know, is that real, or is it the Packers kind of helping, you know, the player out so that the Eagles have to dish out more money? And again, the Packers wouldn't mind that anyways. They're not going to, you know, get on Twitter and be like, no, we're not interested. They're not going to say that. But again, you look at it, it's like you start seeing people say things like the Packers are very interested. And it's like, well, maybe they just took the report that we all saw and just added very. But at the same time, it's like, why wouldn't Gutekunst want him? We freed up all this money. Again, he is like the most desirable guy in the entire, in the entirety of free agency at a position of need that no doubt seems to fit Halfley's system. What's there not to like? And you're like, well, it could be the price. And it's like, that's true. But the larger point here is he has a value, right? It's not just like, well, the Packers don't like big numbers. They pay big numbers all the freaking time. Did you see how much we had to pay Aaron Rodgers? Did you see how much we paid David Bakhtiari? Did you see how much we paid Rashawn Gary and all that? I mean, like, they're not afraid of big numbers. The question is, there's a value. There's a value that the Packers have in terms of how valuable they see the safety position, how much they'd be willing to pay for a guy that is his value. And as long as those values align, where Xavier and his agent come out and say, we think we're worth this, and the Packers come out and they're like, we think you're worth that too, and we're willing to pay it for this position, then it's a done deal. And it just kind of came down to who was willing to go over the most. And the scary thing, I think, with this is usually what happens, because that's true, right? Here is the value, and here is what we're willing to pay. The problem is there's always stupid teams that are willing to pay way too much, right? Even if you're willing to go, okay, this is the value. We're willing to go a little bit over the value, whatever, we'll do it. Kind of like Goot was talking about in terms of, you know, you got to push money out a little bit in order to stay competitive. In other words, sometimes you have to make not stupid decisions, but decisions that by yourself you wouldn't necessarily love to make, but here we are. But with, you know, especially top of the market guys like this, out of 32 teams, there's going to be teams that are being wildly stupid. You know, he might get 19, 20, 21, and it's like, we can't. We just can't do it. And that didn't happen. We were hearing between, I mean, some people were saying 13, and I said that was kind of absurd, but I think more realistically, between 16 and 18, and it landed at 17. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Even if you're looking at it going, you know, 16 is kind of the value that we see, maybe 16 and a half, you know, and you stretch it to 17, like, okay, whatever. But I mean, it helped. I mean, to hear that it was like the Packers and the Eagles were in on it, like, are you serious? That's it? But Xavier McKinney, 24 and a half years old, which is just absolutely staggering. 4 years, $68 million, which is $17 million per year. I don't know details beyond that at this point in time. Let me see a different site here if we have more details. Nope, they got nothing over there. So we don't have any more details on that. We'll see how that's all laid out as that comes out. I want to read this to you, though. This is an article from Tyler Henry, written on March 12th of 2022. So this was exactly 2 years ago. Written by our Giants Wire is the website, USA Today. Giants' Xavier McKinney was among NFL's best man coverage safeties in 2021. So this is 2022. We're talking about the 2021 season. So remember, he came into the league in 2020. So he is now two seasons done. Here is the article written 2 years ago about Xavier McKinney. It says, one of the few bright spots in the 2021 season for the New York Giants was second-year safety Xavier McKinney. McKinney led the team in interceptions and took a significant jump in his sophomore season. Now, as the Giants try to turn the roster around, McKinney could be one of those pieces Big Blue builds around for the future. Certainly, the Giants have a few talented players on defense, but none have the potential at the young age like McKinney. While McKinney most definitely impressed in 2021, it is possible he was underappreciated during the Giants' abysmal four-win season in the first 17-game NFL season. Now, that's when he puts in this graphic. This is PFF Miami Dolphins. It says, highest graded safeties in man coverage last season. Javon Holland, Adrian Phillips, Xavier McKinney. He had an 81.8 grade in man coverage as a safety. Says, when the Giants drafted the Alabama product, they knew they were getting a talented player who can play all over the field, and clearly his coverage is one of his strong points. Going into the season, it was hard to imagine McKinney getting enough playing time to impress as much as he did with such a crowded defensive backfield, particularly at the safety position. After a couple of key injuries all over the defense, including a season-ending injury to Jabril Peppers, McKinney thrived and ended up having the third most tackles on the team. The Giants may have found themselves a gem in McKinney when they took him in the second round in the 2020 NFL Draft. While the team's new general manager, Joe Schoen, reshapes the roster, McKinney certainly has value for the Giants in the future. So, remember, 2023 was his best year by far. And this is what was written in 2021. All right, so then, let's fast forward a little bit. I got another one for you. This is from BigBlueView.com. This is SB Nation's Giants site, written by Rivka Board. Xavier McKinney may be New York Giants' biggest defensive X factor. So this is prior to the 23 season, after the 22 season. Remember, 22 was a little bit of a disappointment. Here's a little bit of what it has to say. First paragraph says, one of the New York Giants' most significant injuries during the 2022 was the one suffered by Xavier McKinney. Although McKinney was having a disappointing season prior to his gruesome fractured hand, his replacements did not do much better in his primary coverage role. A healthy and improved McKinney will be a key for the Giants' defense to take a big step forward in 2023. Then if we skip down to the end where it says 2023 outlook. And remember, this is Wink Martindale's defense now. It says, the emphasis placed on McKinney's coverage skills is due to his role in recent years as primarily a deep safety. That player represents the last line of defense, particularly in Wink Martindale's attacking system. McKinney is going to be tasked with single high coverage more often than is popular across the NFL nowadays. So what have we heard so far? Although I don't even know if we got to it yet. But man coverage, right? That was the first little tidbit from that article, was how good he is in man coverage. And then number two is he's going to be asked in Wink Martindale's system to be doing more single high than is common across the NFL. Interesting that this guy seems to be a good fit for the Packers. Let's continue. If the Giants want to double team A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, or CeeDee Lamb, he's often going to be the one providing the help. One of the keys to Martindale's system is to have back-end players who can cover when isolated. This may be less important for McKinney than it is for the cornerbacks, but it's still a big part of his role. And then we'll skip that next paragraph. The final paragraph says, safety play is not easy to evaluate statistically because there are fewer one-on-ones at the position. Still, McKinney's impact on the game, especially in limiting big plays and causing some takeaways of his own, is crucial for the Giants' defense to be able to attack as they want to. So it's like, look, we like McKinney. And look, 2022, it didn't pan out. He wasn't getting off to a great start, and then he got injured, and that sucked. Going into 2023, though, he's the X factor. He's the guy that if this is going to work, it's going to be because of him. And what happened in 2023? Well, how about this article from Yahoo Sports, from Giants Wire, Dan Benton. This is January 14th, 2024, so this is the conclusion of the 2023 season. Finding out what happened. We'll get to the end of the book. Giants' Xavier McKinney named to PFF's 2023 All-Breakout Team. New York Giants safety Xavier McKinney came into his own this past season thanks in part to now former defensive coordinator Wink Martindale's system. The 2020 second-round pick recorded 116 tackles, 78 solo, 2 for a loss, 1 forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 quarterback hit, a half sack, and 3 interceptions. Almost all those marks were career highs. Most impressively of all, McKinney played 100% of the team's defensive snaps along linebacker Bobby Okereke, embodying Brian Daboll's smart, tough, and dependable mantra. McKinney's impressive body of work, which did not yield Pro Bowl All-Pro honors, caught the eyes of those at Pro Football Focus. Again, those honors are stupid and irrelevant. PFF recently revealed their 2023 All-Breakout Team And there at safety was McKinney. And here's what PFF had to say. McKinney was a capable starter for the first 3 years of his career with the Giants, but not much more than that. He has always been one of the best tacklers at the position, never earning a tackling grade below 81 in his NFL career. He took his game to new heights in 2023, posting the best coverage grade among safeties, 91.2, and an impressive tackling grade of 89.1. That resulted in an 87.8 PFF overall grade, placing fourth at the position. He saved his best performance for last, tormenting the Eagles' offense with two interceptions and three run stops en route to a 95.3 game grade and a 95.5 mark in coverage in Week 18. After his impressive season, McKinney is looking forward to testing free agent waters. He isn't interested in playing on the franchise tag and believes it's time for the Giants to pay up. So then the question is, okay, you've already made the comment that these guys don't hit the market, right? That's your claim. So why in the world did he hit the market? Well, here's another Yahoo Sports article. It says, in part, well, this is the title, Xavier McKinney says it's time for the Giants to pay up. Again, written by Dan Benton. Starts off talking about several receivers won't be coming back, et cetera, et cetera. And then it says another player headed toward free agency is safety Xavier McKinney, who capped off a career-best season with two interceptions and three passes defensed. After that game, McKinney's teammates delivered a simple message to general manager Joe Schoen, quote, pay that man. The problem for Schoen and the Giants is that there's only so much money to go around. As a result, someone is going to get the franchise tag, and it's unlikely it will be Barkley for the second year in a row. That leaves McKinney, who isn't thrilled with the idea of a franchise tag. No comment, McKinney said when asked if he'd play on the franchise tag. While McKinney didn't want to discuss playing on the tag, he was certainly open to talking about making it rain. He agreed with his teammates and said it's time for the Giants to pony up. Quote, I definitely agree, McKinney said. I definitely agree, but we'll see what happens and we'll go from there. It says, although he played well in 2023, it's been a rocky road for McKinney as a member of the Giants. He suffered a severe injury during the team's bye week a year ago and then had a public spat with the defensive coordinator Wink Martindale in November that led to some internal issues. After all that, does McKinney even want to come back in 2024? Quote, I can't really control nothing, McKinney said. Quote, it's a business at the end of the day, so I just got to be where my feet are, be present, and that's really about it. One thing McKinney is certain of is that he's got some solid negotiating ground to stand on this offseason. He played exceptionally well in 2023 and believes the best is yet to come. Quote, to be honest, I don't think I've scratched the surface of who I am as a player. I think I could have been a lot better this year in a lot of different areas, but I think the best is yet to come for me. So that's kind of the backstory, right? So, I mean, there's a little bit of a spat with Wink Martindale, but Martindale left. I think the larger issue is the Giants they didn't have the money to pay him, so they wanted to franchise tag him, and McKinney's like, nope, not doing that. I will not play in a franchise tag. And apparently, you know, usually teams are like, yeah, well, too bad you are. Apparently, they just didn't do that. And so, I mean, it's kind of interesting from a schematic standpoint, because think about it. So 2020, he came into the league, right? And defensive coordinator was Patrick Graham. He was fine, right? It was okay. 2021, he comes back, and it's Patrick Graham again. He takes a big jump. 2022 rolls around, and it's a new era. It's Don Martindale, Wink Martindale. He takes a big drop off. And look, these are very different schemes. You know, you've got more of a two-high, split zone type of a defense. You know, it's more of a Joe Barry where you know, as the play is called, you've got to make adjustments. So, you know, as the alignments come out, you're the quarterback of the defense. You're out there shouting things and making adjustments and doing all that kind of stuff. And then Wink Martindale comes out, and it's all about being aggressive, and it's about blitzes, and it's about man coverage, and it's about single high. And so the bottom line is there's a learning curve, and he struggled, and then he got hurt. But then just like with the other guy, in his second year in the scheme, massive jump. And the good news here is that there's more overlap between what he was asked to do with Wink Martindale than with Patrick Graham. It's not identical. It's not the exact same. But it's going to be some familiarity where it's not this brand new thing and he's going to have a big drive. I mean, he may have a step back. But he's going to be asked to do a lot of things that he learned to do for 2 years, or at least a year and a half, under Wink Martindale. And the great thing is with Halfley, it's like, you know, it's not as man-based, I don't think, as Wink Martindale. So there's going to be a lot more or you know, some more zone mixed in. Great, because he spent 2 years learning how to do that stuff. And we've got great DB coaches. We've got two head coaches specifically that are there that have DB backgrounds. And Halfley in particular is a great coach to get guys up to speed. So, you know, similar to what I said with Jordan Love, man, if this guy's going to survive anywhere, if he's going to thrive anywhere, it has to be Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't know where else he would go. I can't even say New York because Wink's gone. So, anyways, it's about all I got for you for now. Very excited about this team. It somehow got younger. And I don't know how we're doing it, but it's really an incredible thing to watch happen. And so we will keep an eye on it and see what Goot has for us tomorrow or today for you. But with that, I'm out of here. Have a good one. Bye-bye.